Today on From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve, it's all about the rapture.
Paul talks so much in 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians about the coming of the Lord. Paul started the church. He founded the church there in Thessalonica. But somebody had come into the church after Paul had left, and they told him, hey, you missed this thing called the rapture, and you are in this thing called the day of the Lord, the judgment of God. So Paul is writing to them to clear up their confusion, thinking that somehow they're experiencing the day of judgment, and they missed what Paul had told them was the coming of the Lord in 1 Thessalonians.
This is From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve, who'll tell you the undeniable truth today. There is an incredible proliferation these days, especially in the media, about all kinds of topics with information and misinformation that is agenda-driven. Some is true, some is false, and some is even worse. It's halfway true. We have to all be vigilant to make sure that we know the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth from God's Word. Because ultimately, that is what will matter most to everyone. And today's lesson will share some of that. It's about the rapture of the church, the blessed hope, and the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Is this snatching away just one big hoax? Pastor Jeff shares three discoveries concerning the rapture in today's message. It comes from the 8-message series, which is brand new, entitled The Church in the Last Days. It's also our gift of thanks to you for your support this month. You can find out more at fromhisheart.org. Right now, open your Bible to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Here now is Pastor Jeff with a little review from last time and then the incredible conclusion to the message, The Rapture, Fact or Fiction?
Is it biblical to believe in the rapture of the church? And I want to focus in on three discoveries concerning that question. Number one, the Bible clearly teaches that there will be a rapture of the church. It's very clear in the Bible that there is going to be a rapture. We don't know when, we know it is coming. The rapture is not used, that term, in the Bible, but it's taught in the Bible. And where it's taught is very clearly seen in 1 Thessalonians. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep. Asleep doesn't mean that they're just tuckered out and they're taking a nap. They're dead. That's what he means. Asleep is a euphemism for dying. That you may not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. He says, for this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up. Very important. Caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Caught up is one Greek word, harpazo. It means to catch away, to seize away by force. So that's the first discovery here. The Bible clearly teaches there will be a rapture. Second discovery, the issue of the rapture is timing. So the Bible clearly indicates that there is going to be a catching away. There's going to be a rapture. There's going to be this harpazo, this snatching away. So the issue is not, is that going to happen? The issue is, when does that happen? And that's where you get into a lot of debate. When does that take place? Now, when it comes to the rapture of the church, the Lord coming back in the clouds, there are three main views as far as timing. He can come back at the beginning of the tribulation. That's called a pre-tribulation rapture position. He can come back in the middle of the tribulation, when the devil or the Antichrist reveals his true colors, that he claims to be God and people believe in a mid-tribulation rapture, or he can come back at the end of the tribulation. That's called a post-tribulation rapture. Now, I believe all of the tribulation is the wrath of God. So I am a pre-wrath rapture person because 1 Thessalonians 5:9, God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. So I believe the Lord comes to take us out before the wrath of God is poured out on this world. The post-tribulation position, which says, hey, the church is going to go through the tribulation. That's just the way it is. There's suffering in our future. And so what happens is when you read at the end of the tribulation, when Jesus comes back, there is just really one coming, and the rapture is just, the timing is just really close. It's like minutes, you know, he comes back in the clouds, we're caught up to be with him, and then he comes to the earth. Well, there are serious problems with that. One is the loop problem. We just go up to go down. You know, it's like, why'd you rapture me? You were coming here. I'm going to come to you. You take me back down to where I was. That's kind of a weird, you know, thinking, because it's like, what was the purpose of that? The second big problem with that is that if the rapture comes at the end of the tribulation period, then all the Christians are glorified. John, 1 John chapter 3 says that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We're glorified during the rapture. Philippians chapter 3, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory through the exertion of the power that he has even to subject all things to himself. So when the rapture comes, I'm changed. As it says in 1 Corinthians, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For this mortal must put on immortality, and this perishable body will put on the imperishable. Then will come about the saying, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? All that happens at the rapture. But if you put the rapture at the end, here's the big problem with it. If you put it at the end, then there are no human beings, unglorified saints on the earth. Because everybody is raptured at the time the Lord comes back in Revelation chapter 19. Everyone is glorified. So Jesus wipes out his enemies and he sets up the millennial kingdom. But all you have are glorified saints in there. Glorified saints don't marry. Glorified saints don't have children. So you have a problem because now the millennial kingdom, this thousand-year reign of Christ that's discussed in many passages in the Old Testament, but it's discussed specifically as a thousand years in Revelation 20, you only have glorified saints in there. You can't have children. So how are you going to have a rebellion at the end of the thousand years when you just have glorified saints? Glorified saints don't rebel against the Lord. Glorified saints can't sin. But the Bible makes it clear, hey, when Jesus releases the devil who's been bound for 1,000 years, when he releases him at the end of the 1,000-year reign of Christ, he gathers together rebels to himself like the sand that is on the seashore. So see, the post-tribulation position, rapture position, has a serious issue there. How do you have people rebelling against the Lord at the end of the millennial kingdom? So I believe with all my heart in the pre-tribulation rapture position. That means that Jesus could come back at any moment. We don't know when he's coming. The rapture doesn't need signs. The second coming has tons of signs. Now you read in Revelation, all the signs that are going to take place. You read in Matthew chapter 24, all the signs that take place. Now, if the rapture happens 7 years before the return of Christ. It's the beginning point of the tribulation. Jesus actually comes back, sets his feet on the Mount of Olives at the end of the tribulation. That's only a 7-year gap. Maybe, and you could have a little bit of time frame in between there, but probably not more than about a year. So 8 years max, but the tribulation is only 7 years. And so when you read in the Bible, a lot of times it just puts those together, the coming of the Lord. But it is in two phases. One is in the clouds and one is on the earth. One is coming for his saints. One is coming with his saints. Revelation chapter 19, verse 14. And the armies which are in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, were following him on white horses. Who's that? That's not talking about angels. When the Bible says that the Lord, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, he comes with his angels, his holy army of angels. The Bible makes it clear they're angels. These are not angels. These are people clothed in white robes, white and clean. Who is that? That's the church. The rapture, he comes for his saints. The return, he comes with his saints. At the rapture, he comes to rescue and to snatch his bride out of the wrath that is to come. At the return, he deals out flaming fire. At the return, he fights the battle of Armageddon with the power of his word. And there is so much bloodshed and so much carnage that the blood runs up to the horses' bridles for a distance of 200 miles. That's not talked about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. That's not talked about when the scripture says we're caught up to be with him. Thus shall we always be with the Lord. That's not talked about in John 14, where Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I will come, go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He's going to take us to the Father's house. See, in the post-tribulation framework, there's no time for that because he comes back in the clouds to come to the earth. We meet him up here. We come back down with him. There's no time to go to the Father's house. So that's why I believe that the pre-tribulation rapture position is the position that the Bible teaches. God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. So the Bible clearly teaches there will be a rapture. Secondly, the issue of the rapture is timing. And thirdly, the timing of the rapture precedes the day of the Lord. Look at it again in verse 2. That you may not be quickly shaken from your composure or be disturbed either by a spirit or a message or a letter, as if from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. The day of the Lord is not a 24-hour day. It's a long period of time. It's a frightening time. It's doom for the people who live on the earth. The day of the Lord. Now, the day of the Lord, after God pours out his wrath, then he sets up his kingdom, the millennial kingdom. So the day of the Lord isn't all wrath. It's wrath at the first part, but then it's his kingdom for 1,000 years. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus taught us to pray. He is going to rule with a rod of iron. He is going to rule in Jerusalem. He is going to sit on the throne of his father, David. And so all those things, those prophecies are going to take place. So the day of the Lord, he said, you're not in the day of the Lord. Let no one, verse three, let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come unless the apostasy comes first. And the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God. Do you not remember that while I was still with you, I was telling you these things? Paul's with the Thessalonians not very long. We said 6 months max. And in 6 months, he shared Christ with these people, preached Jesus. They put their faith and trust in Jesus. He started that church and founded that church on the Lord Jesus. And the people were coming and they were excited and they were growing in faith and growing in love. And he taught them that Jesus was coming again. And they had that blessed hope in their hearts that the Lord was coming again. They're suffering, but they're excited because they know the Lord is coming again. You know what's so disturbing? I talked to Ed Heinsohn this week, and I talked to Mark Hitchcock just yesterday. They both have written a book, Can We Still Believe in the Rapture? Both very, very smart guys. Mark Hitchcock teaches at Dallas Theological Seminary, and Ed Heinsohn has been the dean at Liberty for a long, long time. Very, very smart, written a lot of books. And I said, you know what is very disheartening is we're getting closer and closer and closer to the rapture, to the return of Christ in the air for his saints. And very few churches are talking about it. Seminaries don't talk about it. They don't really believe in it. So many who have adopted the Calvinistic Reformed viewpoint, they are amillennial in their thinking of eschatology. They say, well, that we don't believe there is a millennial kingdom. We just think the Lord is coming back one day and he's going to judge between the wicked and righteous. And then it's just going to be eternity, heaven forever. And so they don't really make a strong emphasis for that. And the knock against those who believe in the rapture, you say, well, that's scare tactics. You're just using that to scare people to believe in because you don't want to be left behind. And it's like, if you're not ready, you're going to be left behind. And people, oh, I don't want to be left behind. But see, people, they get that knock on the rapture. Well, it's just going to scare people, and it's just sensationalized, and that's not biblical. It is biblical. It is biblical. And the Bible says, before the day of the Lord, there is coming the rapture, the gathering of God's people to him. And so the timing of the rapture precedes the day of the Lord. And so, as Walvoord points out in his commentary, there are going to be three events that you can mark off, three things that are going to happen. Number one, there will be a falling away from the faith. Let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come, the day of the Lord, unless the apostasy comes first. The word apostasy means to fall away. And there's going to be a falling away from the truth and a falling away from the faith. And we're seeing that before our eyes. Churches caving to things that the scripture is very clear about. And they're just letting down the walls and saying, well, no, that's really, you know, we just love needs to conquer all. And so these standards that are in the Old Testament that we've had for all these years, we just take those aside. I mean, you've so jettisoned the truth. You don't know what it is. You don't know what the scripture says. And so there's a falling away from the faith. And not only a falling away from the faith, but a rebellion toward God that is just in your face. And we have many, many people now, atheists and things, Richard Dawkins and the God delusion, that is just in your face, that God doesn't exist. And so we're experiencing that apostasy. It is going to deepen when the Antichrist comes to power. But that is one of the things the scripture says. It will not come the day of the Lord unless the apostasy comes first. Secondly, there will be a removing of the restrainer. Verse 6, speaking of the coming of the Antichrist, you know what restrains him now, so that in his time he may be revealed. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. People have said, what does that refer to? Somebody is restraining this revealing of the Antichrist. Well, who's restraining that? I said, well, maybe it was the government. Maybe it was Rome that was restraining that. Maybe it's a future government. Maybe it was. Maybe it's talking about Satan himself. Satan himself is restraining this revealing of the man of lawlessness. I believe, as do many Bible teachers and preachers, David Jeremiah, John MacArthur, Warren Wiersbe, and many others, Adrian Rogers, I believe that's talking about the Spirit-filled church. The Holy Spirit of God living in his children and his believers, that's what restrains evil from just taking over. Now, there's precedent to this. When the angels in Genesis 19 were sent by God to Sodom and Gomorrah to check out the city to see if the wickedness was that great, they came to destroy it, and they came to Lot. And there was Lot, and Lot is a believer, but he's a polluted believer because you can't live in the city of sin and be unaffected, and he was affected. And they said to Lot, you need to get up and leave this city. And they said, go to this particular city. Or Lot said, can I go to this city, Zoar, it's small, let me go there. And they said, hurry and go, for we can do nothing until you arrive there. They couldn't destroy the city until Lot was safely out. And so the church is one day going to be raptured. Now, that doesn't mean every church member. It means everyone who is truly born again. If the statistics hold true, we have 30, 40, maybe as much as 50% of the membership of the church, not Christians, never been born again. They've been baptized. They've been, as Vance Havner used to say, they've been starched and ironed, but they've never been washed. And so just because your name's on the church roll, just because you got baptized, just because you give some money, if you've never been saved, if you've never really been born again, you will get left behind. But when God takes his church out, then there's no more restrainer. It doesn't mean the Holy Spirit is not still around, because no one can get saved apart from the Holy Spirit. But the influence, the light and the salt of the church is gone. That fits in with the pre-tribulation rapture. When the restrainer is removed, then what happens? Then the Antichrist is going to be revealed. So that's the third step here. There will be the revealing of the Antichrist. The Antichrist is going to be an antithesis of Jesus Christ. Jesus was God in the flesh. The Antichrist is going to be the devil in the flesh. He's human, but he's going to be empowered by Satan himself. There's only one person in the Bible that is said to have been Satan possessed, and that was Judas. Satan entered him, John chapter 13 says. Satan entered him. Lots of people were demon possessed. Only one person Satan possessed, and that was Judas. And Judas is a picture of the Antichrist. And Judas leads the soldiers to the Garden of Gethsemane to arrest Jesus. He's a picture of the Antichrist. And that's a picture of the Battle of Armageddon in miniature, because they're coming against Jesus with their swords and their clubs and their spears and their knives and all that they have. Many, many, we don't know how many came, but probably hundreds of soldiers. And they come to Jesus. And you remember how Jesus, what he says, "Whom do you seek?" They said, "We seek Jesus and the Nazarene." He said, "I am." And they drew back and fell on their face. How does Jesus deal with his enemies at the Battle of Armageddon? With the sword that goes out of his mouth. He speaks them into oblivion. He just speaks the word and they're done. He is the great I am. Hey, the Antichrist will be revealed. When is the Antichrist revealed? When God removes the church at the rapture. We are never told to look for the Antichrist. We're always told to look for the Lord Jesus Christ. Our citizenship is in heaven, from which we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, Paul says this, "For they themselves report about us what kind of a reception we had with you and how you turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, that is Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come." He delivers us from the wrath of hell, yes, but he delivers us from the wrath to come. And that is the tribulation period where God pours out his wrath on a disbelieving, godless world. So here's the big question as we close out the day. If the rapture can come at any moment, Jesus said it can. Jesus said, "You be ready. You don't know when I'm coming. You just be ready." If it came today, are you ready? Are you ready? The Bible says, "Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Behold, today is the day of salvation."
If you know that you're lost, if you know that you know about Jesus, but you've never repented of your sin and surrendered your heart and life to him alone for your salvation, then now, right now, is the time to come to Christ. If you want that forever forgiveness that comes with Christ, we invite you to invite him into your heart with humility and a contrite heart, and he'll receive you for now and for eternity. That's a promise from God. To find out more, please go to fromhisheart.org, click the Why Jesus link to discover how to best begin your journey and life with Christ. Today's message was part two of the lesson entitled The Rapture, Fact or Fiction, from Pastor Jeff's new 8-message series, The Church in the Last Days. Other messages in this series include Good News for God's People, Prayer Power, The Lord of Peace, The Rise and Fall of the Antichrist, Working for a Living, and more. All 8 lessons, our gift to you to say thanks for your support of any amount to From His Heart this month. You can get the series on CDs, a USB flash drive, or an immediate MP3 download when you make your gift by calling 866-40-BIBLE. 866-40-BIBLE, or go online to fromhisheart.org and request The Church in the Last Days. Thank you so very much for joining us today on From His Heart. I'm Larry Nobles, inviting you to be right back here tomorrow for the next powerful lesson in Pastor Jeff's The Church in the Last Days series. Join Pastor Jeff Shreve tomorrow to begin the message, The Rise and Fall of the Antichrist. That's when we'll again open up God's Word to share real truth, real love, and real hope from His heart. There is truth, there is truth, there is blessed, there is hope that you always dream of. He can heal every scar. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more about that when you go to FromHisHeart.org.